Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? We good? Okay. I don't believe you, but okay. Welcome. If you're here in person or if you're online, if you're here in person, we change up the chairs a little bit, and some of you are probably upset because your chair has been moved. I apologize. That wasn't my decision. But I like it. Hey, a couple things real quick before we get started. If you're here or if you're online, So I gave an update a couple weeks ago about my wife, Katie, and my mother-in-law, Melissa, and we're going out to California to this clinic that works with dizzy issues. If you don't know what's going on, you can come talk to me afterwards. Actually, every single time that I give a big update on what's going on, there's somebody in the crowd, maybe for the first time or first time in a long time, whatever, that they're like, oh man, I can help. Let's talk. And that happened again a couple weeks ago. There was a doctor here, and we had a great conversation afterwards. But anyway, so if that's you today, come talk to me. Let's talk, you know, let's figure this out. My wife's been, and my mother-in-law have been dealing with like vertigo and dizziness and vestibular issues. I'm practically a doctor in the field nowadays. But we're going out to California in a couple of weeks. There's a clinic out there that's doing amazing things and great reviews, and they are like, we'll help. We'll take care of this for you, no problem. And then somebody put a GoFundMe out this week to pay for it because it is incredibly expensive, and insurance is not paying outside of Georgia, and you know, it's all kinds of stuff. Don't get me started on insurance. But so thank you so much if you've given to help us get there and then get back. That is awesome. So I just wanted to say thank you real quick. And then also the second thing that I want to talk about is, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a bunch of crates and stuff, and there's equipment throughout the building, over there in the lobby and in the kids' area. That is our elevator. So we've been talking about things upstairs. Yes, it's so exciting. We have a group of people who come every single week and walk up those stairs where there is no bathroom up there, and they walk up those stairs and they cut things out, crafts, and they're working for the kids and get ready for Sundays, and they are so thankful, I'm sure, that thing is finally here. So it's here. They're going to start installing it, I believe, this coming week. So super cool. So just to let you know what all the stuff is around, it's our elevator. A lot of things go into making an elevator, apparently. But that is, it's super exciting for us to have here in the building, finally. All right, so we are in week 6 of the series that we're in called Beatitudes, which is an incredibly boring title. But it is what it is. It is the Beatitudes. It's what it's called. And so we're going through talking about the different attitudes of our heart. This is week 6, so we're doing the 6th one right now. So if you're a little behind, that's okay. All of our messages are online. You can go online and check it out. Get up to speed. You don't have to see the other ones to know what's going on today. But these are attitudes of the heart. This is Jesus teaching, and he's saying, listen, if you do these things, you will be blessed. And so we're paying attention to these because that sounds important to us. And so today, we are going to start in Matthew 5:8, the Beatitude that we're talking about today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I want to point out a couple things real quick. This does not say, blessed are the perfect. Blessed are the people that get it right all the time. Right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a short and simple and complicated verse. These 11 words. Listen, this will change your life. These 11 words. Now, all of them are super important. All of them are great. This one, I went into this week and I was like, oh, this is going to be boring, you know? Oh, be nice. Be pure in heart. Like, be authentic, right? This is a lot. So as I was kind of dissecting this and getting into this, I was like, I don't want to do this one anymore. I felt a little ADD. I'm like all over the place. So you're gonna have to stick with me. All right, this morning, buckle up because we're gonna be a little bit all over the place. But this one here, it starts with the inside, and then it works its way outside. All right, so there's a lot to cover, but let me start with a story because why not? So my brother a couple years ago bought an airplane. He decided I'm gonna go get my pilot's license, and I'm going to buy an airplane. Like, why not, right? He's single, so that makes sense. My brother, he did this. And, I've been up in a little airplane. He's got a little 4-seater airplane. And I've been up a few times in smaller airplanes. And I like it. It's cool. It's different. It's fun. You know, you can kind of really see what's going on the ground and try to find your house. And, you know, it's just neat. It's a neat experience. And so I was excited about this. And my brother, you know, we got this opportunity probably a couple weeks after he got his airplane. I got an opportunity to go visit him. And so I did. And I was like, let's go fly. And he was like, you know, it's still kind of new. I was like, that's fine. He's like, yeah, that's cool. I'm good. Let's go. And so I have a picture of his airplane that I had him send me. There it is right there. Look at that. It's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that cool? How neat to have a brother with an airplane. I mean, it hasn't really served any purpose for me. It doesn't benefit me except for, you know, I get to fly every once in a while when I go see him. But that's super cool. I show up, and this is it. It's waxed. It's shiny. It's beautiful. And then I open the door, and this is what I see inside. Look at this next picture here. You can see there's some chairs, but there's also, like, you can see some hoses, and not all the interior is done. Let me see that next picture. There's some painter's tape in front of things to let them know what's going on. And then the next picture, there's, like, missing things. And I'm like, dude, are you sure about, did you spend too much time on the wax and not enough time on the stuff that's going to actually help us figure out where we're going and make sure that we get back safely? Like, I have children, you know? And so that was my experience when I got in there. He's like, no, it should be fine. So, and this is my little brother. This is the last. This is the youngest. And so if you are a person that has brothers or sisters, and several, maybe not just one or two, but like we have four. There's four of us kids. We all know that the last one, there's no discipline. Your parents are wore out by then, you know? I mean, they was like, yeah, well, you should be fine. Which is what he said about the airplane. It should be fine. Let's go, right? Now, I'll tell you, we went flying that day, and it turned out pretty good. Like, we landed, and everything was safe, right? It was good. And then my mom and dad show up. My mom and dad show up for this. I can't remember why we were all together. Maybe a holiday or something. And my mom says, oh, I'm so excited. Let's go flying. And my brother, let me tell you what he says. No, I'm not comfortable taking people up yet. He took nobody else up that weekend but me. And I was like, dude, I have kids. Like, mom's lived her life. She's good. I have children. But for some reason, he felt like I could handle it. I bounce. I don't know what. I don't know what he was thinking there. But holy cow, he would not take anybody else up. And I was like, hold on. You, like, 20 minutes ago, we were just up in that thing. But it's all right. It worked out, right? So this is what I'm talking about today with the pure heart, right? We can look good on the outside and on the inside. Maybe the things aren't in place to help us know where we're going, how we're going to get there, what we should be doing, that kind of stuff, right? There's a group in the Bible called the Pharisees, right? In the New Testament. This is a group, they didn't really get along with Jesus. And if you're familiar with the Pharisees and their interactions, you know what I'm talking about, but they didn't really get along. They were really concerned with what the outside looked like. They were setting the bar real high for that kind of stuff. And Jesus comes in the scene and he's like, listen, I'm way more concerned about your heart. Way more concerned with what you're actually, who you actually are. Not what you look like, right? So there's this story here in Luke 11 where Jesus is speaking. Here's Luke 11:37. Let's read it. Jesus was speaking. A Pharisee asked him to dine with him. And so he went in and reclined at the table. Verse 38, the Pharisee was astonished. He was blown away. He could not believe the fact to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Now, this is different than when my kids come in from the outside at dinner time. We tell them, wash your hands, you know, before we're emptying the dishwasher or something, wash your hands because you're disgusting. This is different. There's a ceremonial washing that he's talking about here. This is a rule that the Pharisees have put in place for not really a real reason. Other than, hey, this makes us seem spiritual. Like they called it for a spiritual purpose, right? And so what they would do is they would take about 3/4 of a cup of water. It's not even like go to the sink and wash your hands for real. It was a ceremony. It was 3/4 of a cup of water. And they would pour it on their hands and let it run down just like this, down to both sides. And then they would kind of rub their fist into their palm. And then they would do it on their other hand. Like 3/4 of a cup for all of this. And then they would run it down the other way at the end, let it kind of drip off, right? They would do this in between, something, a version of that, in between every single course. when they sat down and ate. And so Jesus, he sits down, and he's like, hey, you're not going to do that? And this is what Jesus said in verse number 39. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. I like this a lot right here. But let me tell you why I like it. A couple reasons. First reason, Jesus says, hey, you're cleaning your dishes, but the inside you're full of greed and wickedness. Like, I don't think he's really talking about dishes, but he quickly makes his point, right? And I love the fact that Jesus is not doing this ceremonial cleansing, you know, like, because it doesn't make sense. It's not, it was called for a spiritual purpose, but it is not for a spiritual purpose. It is simply because these Pharisees, these people here, they made up these rules because they wanted to seem important. They wanted to control. They wanted to, hey, listen, you're not as good as we are, right? And there's several examples of this throughout the Bible, but this is what he does. And I get this. I love it because Jesus doesn't do this because it's dumb. It's, and I personally, like, I really question almost everything. I was a difficult child to raise because I needed to know why this is a rule. Even as an adult, like, I have a hard time doing things that don't make sense to me. Now, I want you to do things that make sense to me, right? Are we all, is this everybody or is this just me, right? But I don't like it. It doesn't make sense, right? Pointless, ceremonial. That's why, one of the reasons that I love Gateway. There's not a lot of pointless stuff here. Like, we get right to the point. We're doing what I feel like, again, if I like it, it's, you know. We get to the point, like, we worship. We come to, and we listen to a practical message that we can take and we can actually apply to our lives this week. It's not just for more knowledge and to puff us up. This is stuff that we can use and take home. Typically, when I'm giving a message, it's because I've learned something, and let's all learn it together, right? Let's do it. It's really practical. This is Gateway. So this is what we're doing here, right? This is not pointing people to God, what the Pharisees are doing in the New Testament. It's not pointing to people to God. It is not promoting an authentic relationship with God. It was simply to do things to look good, right? Rules like this did not come from a pure heart. They didn't come from a pure heart. Their motives were self-serving and controlling. And let me tell you something. This is one of the reasons that it is so important to study on your own. This is one of the reasons that it is so important, let me say that again, to study on your own or to get in a small group where you can study and you can ask questions, you can figure things out. Now, I'm not saying that I would ever do this, but it's possible that I might say something wrong. I might read a passage of Scripture and interpret it completely different than what it should have been interpreted like, right? And what if you don't know? What if you don't send me an anonymous angry email? You know, then I won't know that I did that, right? It's awesome when that happens. I love it. But listen, this is why it's so important. Or, you know what? You may hear something, you're like, oh, I want to learn more about that. Like, today is a perfect example of this. Because as we're talking about the pure in heart, they shall see God. Well, man, you know what? He kind of went in this direction for a couple of minutes, and I want more information about that. Great. Study on your own. Look it up. Figure it out. Let's see what that means, right? This is so important, right? Now, let's get back to Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's talk about the pure in heart for a second. What does that mean? Well, the heart in the Greek is a big word, right? We kind of get it. Like, I love you with all my heart, you know, that thing that's beating, right? Well, like, we sort of understand this, but this is what it means. When he says pure in heart, it is a lot of things. It is the organ responsible for keeping the body alive. Right? I think we can get behind that. It is the center of all physical and spiritual life. This is the Greek word. This is what they were talking about when they say pure in heart, right? It is understanding and intelligence. It is your will and your character. So it's pretty much all-encompassing. This is you. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There are so many verses that describe pure in heart. Let's look at one, Philippians 2, a couple, 3 through 5. It says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Well, that's difficult. Let each of you look not only on his own interests. Okay, let me stop right there just for a second. You know, it is okay to look after your own interests. I just want to make sure that we're clear. The scripture says not only your own interests, but it is okay to look after your own interests, right? I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of things in my life that just pertain to me, and I'm looking after them. Like my yard, for instance, is one of them. Like I like a nice yard. But anyway, I digress. But also the interests of others, okay? Have this mind or this heart among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, right? This is who you should be. This is a great example of who you should be. Humble, put in the interests of others before yours, but you could look after your own as well. Looking after others, selfless, humble, this is it, right? This is who we are, but this is only possible. It says, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It is possible through Jesus. Now, this is honest. Living this way, as it describes in Philippians 2 here, is honest. It is real. It is not for show. Humility. You know, I joke all the time. You know, I'm the most humble person I know. There's a comedian that I was listening to the other day, and he was talking about heroes. And it's okay. People are heroes. People save people. People do amazing things. But you can never say, you know, they get asked in interviews, are you a hero? Like, no, I just was doing my job. Right? If you say that, okay, you can be a hero. Right? But no, you're like, of course, did you see that? That was amazing. I'm a hero. Right? No, we can't do it. So it's the same with humble, humility. I'm not going to, if I say I'm the most humble person I know, I'm probably not. Okay, so when I do that, it's just a joke. Just let everybody know on the inside, right? But this is honest. It's not for show. This is one of the most important parts of figuring out how to be pure in heart is we have to be honest with ourselves and with God. We have to be honest with ourselves and with God. And part of that is this. We rather listen to those on social media that agree with us, that agree with our stance, that agree with our lifestyle, that agree with whatever it is that we have. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? Like we surround ourselves with groups of people who agree with us. Not sure what just happened there. We surround ourselves with people who agree with us. Right? Do you get it? Do you understand that this is something that we do? Because, listen, if I have a point, if I want to make a decision and I really want to go in this direction, well, I want people that agree with me to go in that direction. I feel like I try to really surround myself with diversity. I want to surround myself with people who have differing opinions, but that are godly opinions and who I trust. Because I want to make sure that I'm making the wisest decision possible. Because I don't know what I don't know. But this is what we do instead, right? When we're not being honest with ourselves, honest with God, we just want the approval. Okay? We have to be very careful about that. Instead of turning to the Bible, the truth, the inspired word of God, getting godly counsel, we listen to, and this is the phrase that we hear all the time, right? This is my truth. Or this is a truth. Man, we have to be very careful with this is my truth. Because I don't see that in Scripture at all. I see the truth. The truth, okay? So be careful. Be very careful. The truth will absolutely change your life if you let it. This pure in heart, grabbing a hold of this concept, it will absolutely change your life if you let it. But too many of us are afraid or too selfish, too stuck in our ways to let it change our lives, to go in that direction. 1 John 1:8 and 9 say this. This is, when we talk about this is my truth, this is the path that I'm choosing. If we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, purify from all unrighteousness. This is important to understand. We cannot go whatever direction we feel like is okay for me. Because let me tell you something. Today I feel like this, tomorrow I'm going to feel like something different. It's the same with our marriages. You know what? Today, I don't love my wife as much as I did yesterday or at the beginning. She's changed, not me. We have to be very careful. Emotions, it's deceiving. We have to be very careful that we follow the truth and not just our truth, something that we've made up because this is our preference, right? We have to be very careful. I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. Have I said very careful enough? So why should we maintain this pure heart? Why do we go after a pure heart? Other than the Bible says we'll see God. Well, here goes Philippians 2:15. It says this, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is why it's important. So we'll shine as lights. Now, here's what we know. We're supposed to be a light in a dark world, right? It says right there in the verse, a twisted, crooked, twisted generation. I mean, this is written a long time ago. It's like they were looking into 2022, right? This crooked and twisted generation. We're supposed to be a light in the world. Without light, listen, let me tell you something. Without light, we won't see God. Without light, when we're not being the light, we're not going to point others to God. That's why it is so important to be pure in heart. We'll see God and we'll point others to God. That is the mission. That is why we're here. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. Invest in and invite, right? This is the vision statement, the purpose statement of Gateway Church. We exist to invest in and invite people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We invest in people. It comes from a pure place, pure in heart, so that others will know him and see him. And in that process, we know him, we see him. That is the blessing. So we are supposed to be a light in the dark. But we live in a world full of people looking for fulfillment, looking for purpose in dark places, trying to find validation and status from means other than God. This is exactly what the Pharisees were doing back in the New Testament. They were looking for fulfillment from people, thinking they were so spiritual, that they were at this bar set so high, they were so great. They made themselves look super spiritual. They were the bar to reach. Listen, no person is the bar to reach. We are going after holiness. We're going after holiness, the standard that Jesus Christ sets for us. Listen, don't try to be like me, because you're going to fail, right? Don't try to be like anybody else. Hey, what do you do that's working for you? Those kind of things. But listen, we're trying to be like Christ. This is the example that we have that we're going to follow, right? This Pharisees, what they were doing, this does not shine light on God. This is a distraction from what God really wants from you and me. And let me tell you something. This is something that is super important to me. It is very important to me because this is why. This concept here. I want Gateway Church to be more of an authentic, pure-hearted example of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ every single day. More and more every single day. Okay. But oftentimes when we say, I want Gateway Church to be more of an authentic, pure-hearted example, what is that? The building, like Gateway Church, the staff maybe even. Definitely Sam. Well, what does this look like? No, we are the church. We are the church. Sitting here, online, wherever, we are the church. So what does that mean? I have to be a more authentic, pure-hearted version, a more pure-hearted example of what it looks like to follow Jesus every single day. That's on me. That's on us as individuals. This is important. This is how we shine a light on God. We point people to Christ. We see this example in David. God describes David. You know David in the Bible, from David and Goliath, right? That David, the second king of Israel. We see this example from him. God calls him a man after his own heart. This man is searching after God's heart. This man messed up a lot. David, he didn't get it right all the time, but he kept coming back to God. Here's what he said, Psalm 51:10. This is right after he just massive screw up. Psalm 51:10. He says, create in me a clean heart or a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is honest. David's prayer. If you go back and read Psalm 51, this is Psalm 51. I screwed up. I messed up. It was me. Nobody else made me do this. It was me. It was all my fault. I screwed up. God, forgive me. He was taking the responsibility, trying to right his relationship, trying to purify his heart with God. Honest. That's how you get to a pure heart. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to give you one more example of this. Taking this really from Gateway Church, and then an example in Scripture of what that looks like and why we do what we do. So a couple of weeks ago, we got word that there was a young lady in the Savannah, who actually had a baby and did not know she was pregnant. First of all, can you imagine? Like, we knew we were going to have a baby. Finn, our first kid, we knew he was coming. And we prepared. We still had no idea what we were doing. But can you imagine having a little baby, not having prepared, not having a single diaper, not having a car seat? You know, they don't let you leave the hospital if you don't have a car seat. We were like, it's fine, we'll get one sometime. And they're like, no, we need you to go right now. Just kidding, we had one, you guys. Somebody told us. We were prepared. But can you imagine having a baby and not knowing? First of all, I can't, like, what in the world? That should be a TV show. I think it is. But it happened. There's a young lady, had a baby, did not know she was pregnant. In Gateway Church, we put the word out. Hey, holy moly, who's got some stuff? Let's go get some diapers. Let's get some stuff. And we got a pile of stuff for this young lady. Okay? Like, in a few days, we're good. Somebody came, picked it all up, gave it to her. Listen, we may never know her name. We're not going to get a benefit from this. This doesn't benefit us in any way. But when we saw a need, we jumped. And then we do this all the time. We do this all the time with loaves and fishes. We were just talking about this earlier today. Listen, we need volunteers to go serve loaves and fishes. Listen, you may bring groceries out to a car or pack bags for backpack buddies and bring them to schools, and you'll never know those kids' names. You don't even get to meet them. But you volunteer with loaves and fishes, and that's what you're a part of. That's just a couple quick examples. And this is not going to be on the screens. I just want you to listen for just a second. In Matthew 25, we have Jesus talking about the second coming, right? And he's telling about, this is a little bit about what it's going to be like when he comes back, second coming, to talk to Christians and like separate people in judgment and that kind of stuff, okay? But here's what it says. God is going to say, for I was hungry and you gave me food. So just listen, because it's not going to be on the screens. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. Then the righteous will answer him. So he's talking to Christians here. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Like, I would have remembered this, right? When did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When were you thirsty? We gave you a drink. When were you, we see you as a stranger and we welcomed you, or you're naked and we gave you clothes, right? And when did we see you sick or in prison and we visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did this for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So why do we do stuff like that? People that will never, like, there's no benefit. Because we're striving after that pure heart. And the scripture says, there is no, like, this religion that is so pure as when people take care of people who can't take care of themselves. People who take care of the widows and the orphans, those who can't take care of themselves. There's this thing that we try to do, this relationship with Christ, it is so pure when we're doing for others what they cannot do for themselves. That is it. That's why we do what we do. In a moment, we're going to take an offering. And guess what? We give financially to this place. It doesn't benefit us. Except for God's blessing, we get to see God. Almost every single week here on Sunday mornings, somebody accepts Christ for the first time or recommits their life to Christ. decides, you know what, I've been going the wrong way. I need to turn around. I need to repent. I need to go the other direction. I'm going to follow Christ. And they change their family tree for generations. Almost every single week here at Gateway Church, stuff like that happens. Kids over there in the kids area learning about Jesus Christ and how he loves them. Teachers over there in Gateway Kids learning about Jesus Christ and how much they love him. This is why we do what we do. Because we are working towards being pure in heart. Because we want to see God. And it is so clear right here that we see God when we're serving others. We see God when we're serving others. We're doing for others who can't do for themselves, right? That is a huge way that we see God. And let me tell you something. This is something that we will not change here at the Gateway Church. We're only going to get better at doing this kind of stuff. My goal, and we've said this for years, my goal is that if Gateway Church was to close its doors and go away this week, that our community, Chatham, Effingham, Bryan counties, Honduras, Mexico, Haiti, wherever it is, the world would miss us. If we closed our doors this week, my goal is that the world would miss us. And we're only going to get to that point if we're operating from a pure heart. Because if we're just doing things so that we get credit, which is what the Pharisees did in the New Testament, then we've got our praise. We get it right then, and that's it. But we're here for eternity. We're here for eternity. That's why we do what we do. Not for the praise, not for the glory for ourselves, but for God. We're to be a light in the world, shining a light on God, so that we can see God and others can see God. That is who we are and why we do what we do. That's it. From an honest, humble place. I want this to be your prayer this week. The same thing that David prayed. Not because we've screwed up and we're like getting away off, but listen, this needs to be your prayer. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a pure heart, God. Renew a right spirit within me. Make that your prayer every single day. God, today help me operate from a place of purity, from a pure heart. When I see a need, show it to me. Let me see it. And then let me act on that. Like, give me the courage to act when I feel like you're pushing me there. That's it. That's my prayer today. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Like I said, in a moment, we're going to take the offering. And we have an opportunity to be a part of things that we'll never get a benefit from. This is why we give. I mean, a little bit of it we benefit, like there's lights on right now, and some of that pays for that. But most of it, that is our goal, that most of it is for ministry. That's it. That is, what an amazing thing to be a part of. When we say we get to do this, something we say all the time here, we get to do this, that's what we're talking about. So in a moment, we're going to take the offering, and then the prayer team's going to be up front. And so if you're here today, and you're like, you know what? I don't get it. I haven't been doing it. Maybe I don't have that relationship with God. Today's the day. Come for prayer. You can start the relationship with God. You can recommit your life to Christ. You can just ask for prayer for whatever's going on in your life. Completely unrelated to anything I said. Come and pray. It's the ministry. It is what they love to do. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for an opportunity to come and to study and to learn. God, I pray that today sparked interest. Lord, I pray that today there will be a bunch of us that go from here and say, you know what, I want to learn a little bit more about that. I need to learn what that means. God, help us to take this and let it get something started. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of me this week about why we do what we do. Thank you that we get to do this. We get to be a part of an organization, a church, a gathering of people, Lord, that is changing the world. It's changing this community and the world. Thank you. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.